Let's take our Bibles this morning. Open up with me to John's Gospel, chapter 7. John's Gospel, chapter 7 this morning. Several weeks ago, we received a missionary letter from Jennifer Andrews. And she is one of my favorite missionaries. I love her letters. She has such a great way of wording things. Just very interesting how she comes up with different illustrations and ways that she connects things. And it's just kind of enjoyable to read her letters. And she used an illustration that she had heard on a podcast that really resonated with me. In her letter, she wrote this. She said, "We've all been there. Out on a walk, we feel that annoying stone in our shoe. The longer that we walk, the bigger it grows. We try to shake it around so that we don't have to walk directly on it, but it always seems to roll right back into place where we can't ignore it any longer. I'm always disappointed when I stop to remove this stone. I expect it to be a sizable rock in order to justify the magnitude of my suffering. More often than not, it's so small that I don't even see it fall out of the shoe, but it made me stop." She went on to describe just kind of her feelings, a little bit of discouragement as they've experienced the government lockdowns there in Liechtenstein, and as she's had foot surgery, ankle surgery, now it's her second one, and she's done very, very well with it, but it's laid her up, and she hasn't been able to do the work like she wants to do, and especially with the COVID shutdowns, she feels like her sphere of influence has been drastically reduced. Whereas she used to be able to be with the kids and be able to go out in the parks and be able to do things as their church went out and about. None of that's able to be done anymore. And she says now her sphere of influence has been her next door neighbors and her therapist as she has to go in for physical therapy on her foot. And as she has had these things happen, it's been kind of discouraging. And she says, what do you do? Because she knows that God's called her there to Liechtenstein to be this witness for her, to share God's word, to evangelize the lost. And we know that God has called us here. God has us in this place to share the gospel with others and to evangelize the lost. What do you do? And in the midst of feeling kind of discouraged about this, she was listening to a podcast, and the president of Stand to Reason, a fellow by the name of Greg Cockle, and I've never heard of the ministry, I've never even heard of him. But he was asked how he handles these evangelism frustrations, and he said this. He said, "I like to put a stone in their shoe." I like to put a stone in their shoe. Just like the actual stone in your shoe. You give somebody to think about. Give somebody else something to think about. How many of you would admit that ever since, it's only been 30 minutes, you've thought about that stone at least once or twice? And you're thinking, what's he up to? Boy, this thing's annoying. I never thought about doing a Lego. Now that would have been good. Wow. Yeah, you step on those with a barefoot and you know something really quick has happened. In John's Gospel chapter 7, putting the stone in your shoe. John chapter 7, that's what we want to look at today. Putting a stone, putting a pebble in the shoe. In John chapter 7, verse 9. When he had said these words unto them, he abode still in Galilee. But when his brethren were gone up, then went he also up unto the feast, not openly, but as it were in secret. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. You know, there are times when we know that we are supposed to evangelize, but the timing just isn't right, or the place isn't right. You know that you, maybe as you want to talk to somebody about the Lord, you know that that's just not the right opportunity because you don't have any time to talk. You've got to be other places, or they don't have time to talk. You've got a waiter or a waitress in a restaurant. They're working, and you're going to stop them and you know, nail them. Kind of a thing, that doesn't look good on you, and it certainly puts them in a bad position. You're at your job, and you're working, and things like that. What are you supposed to be doing while you're there? Working, exactly. So it's not the right time to do it, or perhaps you're in a place that's just not appropriate to have a deep conversation. You're in the middle of the library. I mean, who goes to a library anymore? But maybe you're in the middle of a library. That's not the place you're going to have a deep conversation. Or maybe the person that you're going to talk to, you can just kind of read them, you can sense it, and you know that they are going to get very openly aggressive, hostile, and it's just not the right place to go with this individual. So how do you still evangelize that person? You put a pebble in their shoe. Here's the Lord Jesus as he has dealt with these individuals. When you get down to verse 12, it shows us that the Lord has constantly put pebbles in their shoe because they are talking among themselves. They are not talking out openly in public because it says a fear of the Jews, but it says that some of them were saying to each other, he is a good man. So what has happened is that through Jesus' earthly ministry, and really by the time you're in chapter 7 here, it's just begun, he has already been putting these pebbles in their shoe, and they're saying, oh, see, we have seen these things. We're remembering. We're thinking. And the pebble in the shoe has kept them thinking. He is a good man. Others don't like what he's taught, and they said, no, he's a deceiver. How do they know he's a deceiver? Why do they think he's a deceiver? Because he's put a pebble in their shoe, and they've been thinking about what he has said. They don't agree with it, but they've been thinking about it. You can't stop a person from thinking about the pebble in their shoe. Isn't that funny? Some of you have, it's just irritated you to death for the last 30 minutes, that pebble in your shoe. And you try to focus on one thing or another, and it always, you come right back to that pebble, don't you? And Jesus said the things that would bring people right back to the pebble in the shoe. And what I want to do this morning as we look at this message, I want us to see how Jesus put a pebble in the shoe of others to help you and I know how can we increase our evangelistic efforts in a day when there are so many restrictions and things like that. Our hands, folks, are not tied. We just have to learn how to be creative. And honestly, do it Jesus' way. He has some great methods here, and that's what we want to look at this morning. Let's go to Luke chapter 14. We are going to be staying in Luke's gospel, and then we're going to move on to the gospel of John. So you can't get too awful lost this morning. In Luke chapter 14, in the first six verses, the first way that you can put a pebble in somebody's shoe is just ask questions. Ask questions. And in Luke chapter 14, verse 1, it came to pass, as he went into the house of one of the chief Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath day, that they watched him, and behold, there was a certain man before him which had the dropsy. And Jesus answering and spake unto the lawyers and the Pharisees, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And they held their peace. And he took him and healed him and let him go. And answered them, saying, which of you shall have an ass or an ox fallen into a pit and will not straightway pull him out on the Sabbath day? These are lost individuals. Did Jesus share the gospel with them? No. He just put a stone in their shoe and got them thinking on some questions. Do you remember back, this is in my childhood, do you remember the detective by the name of Columbo? Now, I know for some of you, you're too young, you're going, who? Never mind. We got to go back to the 70s, and this detective, this L.A. homicide detective, Lieutenant Columbo, and he was this bumbling guy played by Peter Falk. Peter Falk is now dead, so you probably don't even know who that is, some of you, but he was just this bumbling detective. His dark hair is just all in a big swoosh all over the place, and he's in this shabby old trench coat, and chewing on this little nubby cigar, and he walks into a crime scene, and you look at the guy, and it's like, what is he doing here? Did some homeless derelict just show up on the crime scene? That's kind of what he looked like. And he would throw off people by asking these really odd, bizarre, off-the-wall questions, and then he might bring it into a good question, and then he'd go off and he'd on something different. And some of the lines that he would say something like this. He says, I've got a problem. And you can kind of picture him, I've got a problem. You know, he'd kind of hold his head and he'd say, there's something about this thing that bothers me. Maybe you could clear it up for me. Do you mind if I ask you a question? And so he would start off on his round of questioning. And then finally, when you think it's all done and he's getting ready to leave the house, he backs back up and he says, just one more thing. He says, I know I'm making a pest of myself. It's because I keep asking these questions. I can't help myself. It's a habit. But just one more thing. And so he'd hit him again with another question. And there it is, the pebble in the shoe. The questions that Jesus asked of the lawyers and the Pharisees that are here, it got them thinking along an entirely different line. He didn't hit them with the gospel message. Instead, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? Because that's what he was doing right then and there. Here's this guy with dropsy, and we're going to heal him. It's the Sabbath. Before we do this, could I ask a question? Could I just ask a question? And then after he heals the guy, one more thing. Here's another question. You know, the use of questions gets people talking. It gets them to open up, or it gives them something to think about. And you know, those are questions that when they leave your presence, maybe you didn't get to go any farther with it than that. You just asked a question. It gives them something to think about. When we leave the presence of a lost person, have we given them anything to think about concerning the Lord, concerning His Word, concerning the gospel, concerning the truths of God's Word? Have we given them anything to think about? Have we posed a question that they're going to have to wrestle with? You say, oh, I don't think that deep. Well, then get deep. Start thinking. Thinking of things that an individual that is just going to put a little bug, get them going a little bit. Because you asked them the question, so when they finally are ready to answer the question, who are they going to come back to? They're going to go back to the person that asked it. Have another question ready for them. And who knows, because by putting that pebble in their shoe, you've given them something to think about that when they do come back, they're going to start asking the important questions. Put the pebble in their shoe. Let's go to something else. Let's go to Luke chapter 20. Luke chapter 20, verses 19 through 26 is another opportunity that the Lord uses. Luke chapter 20, starting in verse 19. The chief priests and the scribes, the same hour, sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, that they might take hold of his words, so that they might deliver him under the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest the teachings rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Man, they are slathering it on thick, aren't they? Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? But he perceived their craftiness and said unto them, why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? And they answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which be God's. Here's your second pebble. Use everyday conversations. Use everyday conversations. Jesus took an everyday topic and turned it into an opportunity to just mention God. Again, did he go right into an evangelistic presentation? No. You know, some folks, they just back up the truck and dump the entire load of stones on an individual. You can hear it, you know, here comes that Christian. Beep, beep, beep. There goes the whole load right now and buries a person alive. And it did no good. Did Jesus do that? No. He took an everyday conversation. He took the conversation of taxes. How perfect is that for right now? Anybody talked about taxes over the last few weeks? Got all your W-2s? Got your appointment? Know how you're going to do all your thing? Got all your investments and everything squirreled around so that, you know, you don't have to pay in tax? You got all that done? People are going to be talking about that. They're going to be talking about the difference in how you do taxes this year and how you can't get into your tax preparer. You know, you just got to mail it in to them or drop it off because they don't want to see you face-to-face because everybody's scared of getting COVID. Or if you do come in, you're going to get charged more because now we're going to have to sanitize the place and all these kinds of things that are going on because of the era we're in. So people are talking about it. It's an everyday conversation. Folks, we have everyday conversations with people. You walk with people, you work with people, you talk about. We've talked a lot about the weather lately, haven't we? Have we talked a lot about politics lately? Yeah, just nod your head. Don't, you know we have. Have we talked a lot about sports? If you're into football, just had the Super Bowl like, what, 3 weeks ago. So some of you are really into that, so you talk about sports. You talk about your work. You talk about your families and all this kind of stuff. Those are normal, everyday conversations that we all have. Render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's. Here's the coin. Whose inscription is it? Caesar, pay your taxes. That's an everyday conversation. While we're at it, give to God what belongs to Him. All of a sudden, God gets interjected into the conversation. You know, I guess on this taxes thing, you think about this. Jesus said this in the midst of a corrupt Roman government. He is commanding, pay your taxes. He's not saying withhold them because, oh, the government is so corrupt, all this kind of stuff. The Roman government is worse than any government that we got right now just about. So pay your taxes. While you're at it, give the things back to God that belong to God. Interjecting God into the conversation. You know, as Christians, we have the opportunity every day to interject the Lord into the conversation. I mean, just slip Him in. Slip Him in. You say, how do I do that? Think. People are complaining about the government. They're complaining about the amount of money they have for taxes, paying the taxes. They're complaining about their jobs. Slip the Lord into it. You say, well, how do I do that? Boy, I'm sure thankful God gave me a job. Yeah, I know taxes are high, and boy, I sure would any of us not disagree that we would like to keep more money in our pockets? Okay, I think we all agree there. And so you find that point of agreement. Boy, I sure wish I could keep more money in my pockets. But you know what? I sure am glad God gave me the job He gave me. Phew. Man, that's just so smooth. That's so slick. What do you mean? Now they start asking questions. What do you mean? Well, God gave me this job. And then you have an opportunity to talk about how God gave you that job. And you just slide the Lord right into the conversation. The politics, the COVID, and all this kind of stuff that everybody's wanting to yammer about. I said this on a Wednesday night, I think it was, that I had an opportunity to slip this in with an individual because they were just freaking out. I says, but God's in control of it. Everything, God's in control of it. And I said, the things that are happening line right up with what the Bible is saying. God's in total control. We didn't have an opportunity at that moment to really get into things, but you know what? Put a stone in his shoe. Probably put a couple stones in his shoe. And now that is something to think about. That is something that's always going to be there, always going to be a reminder. They're going to remember your words because your words are different than the words that everybody else is speaking. So you got God into the conversation, and it opens up a door for another time. Let's move on to John's Gospel. John's Gospel, chapter 4. John's Gospel, chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to the city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. Then cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. The third way in which we put a pebble in somebody's shoe is to break social barriers. Break social barriers. What do you mean? Well, there was three things that Jesus did here that broke social barriers. Number one, this was a Samaritan. A Samaritan is a cross not just between a Jew and a Gentile, but between a Jew and the enemies of the Jews, the Samaritans. So this is worse than a Jewish and Gentile combination. This is the combination of a Jew and a Gentile enemy. And now you formed not just a marriage, but you have formed a nation of people, the Samaritans. They were hated people. And here is Jesus, a Jew, speaking to this Samaritan. Oh, that is breaking social boundaries. But not only that, she's a woman. That goes against all the social norms. You don't just strike up a conversation with a strange woman, and certainly not a Samaritan woman. Oh, it gets even worse. She's an adulterous fornicator. You could say the people watching the scene could argue and say, well, he didn't know about that. Yes, he did. He's Jesus. He knew exactly about that. But everybody else watching this go down knew who she was. They knew what she was about. Jesus did too. Did Jesus put up some sort of a barrier against her? No. Give me to drink. Never once, as you read through the entire passage, never once does Jesus condone, accept, or approve of her lifestyle. However, this does not keep him from reaching out to her. The pebble in her shoe that he puts into her shoe in this conversation as he breaks these social barriers is one that multiplied very, very quickly. And she took the stone out of her shoe and she started putting the stone into the shoes of others very quickly. Look with me in John's Gospel chapter 4, verse 28. After this conversation, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? The Hebrew of that is the Messiah. He is the Mashiach. He is the anointed one. He is the one that was promised that would come and save his people from their sins. This is the Christ. Then they went out to the city and came unto him. Wow. She was quick to reach out. And by the way, she reached out. She broke social barriers. Isn't that amazing? A couple of our missionaries, well, in fact, I know all of our missionaries do this, but a couple of them do it in really unique ways. Tyson, with the prisons in Pennsylvania there where he's at. Would you consider going into a prison a social barrier? Would you? There ain't too many people that want to do that. There's not too many people lining up saying, oh, yeah, sign me up to do prison ministry. But there are tons of people lining up saying, those people got what they deserve. They are where they ought to be. Well, we'll talk to them maybe when they get out. We'll see if they're reformed. We'll see, blah, 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 blah. And yet they go in. The Hales down in the Dominican Republic and the prostitution that the women are involved in there and the way that those ladies of the church will go out at night to these women and reach out to them and win them to Christ. And then they bring these women back to their facilities there and begin helping these women grow in the Lord. Is it an overnight thing? No. It takes time. Imagine these prostitute women being brought into this new facility and into this new family. And imagine what it must be like their very first Sunday going to church there in the Dominican Republic. And you know what their clothing was like. And that's all they came into the facility with. You know probably what their language was like. You know the reputation that they had, and yet they come on that Sunday and they sit amidst the crowd of those that maybe have been saved 10, 20, 30 years. Social barriers are broken. As Christians, oftentimes we get a bad and self-inflicted rap that we would never go to those places. Oh, we're in our Sunday best. We have been saved from such things. We would never. And off we go and then those that will get a bad rap because they go into the judgmental attitude and start going, well, you shouldn't dress like that. You shouldn't do those things with your body. You shouldn't. It's like, shut up. The reason they're doing it is because they're lost. They need Jesus. And the only way that you're going to reach them for Jesus is not by ripping their life apart, but by bringing them to the one who loves their soul and showing them what it means to be a godly woman, to be a godly man, to teach them, to love them, to train them, to accept the fact that they will never get perfect, no more than the person that's teaching them is ever going to get perfect. And so you go into this process of growing together. Breaking the social barriers. The pebble in the shoe of the social gospel. It's kind of interesting that as you continue to read through as Jesus deals with these people, you would think of such an opportunity. Hundreds would come to know Christ as Savior, and the Bible doesn't record that. The number is very minimal. But the pebble's been placed in the shoe. Let's go to John's Gospel, chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. And this is a passage of Scripture. As we start reading it, it's familiar. We know this passage of Scripture. We could probably tell the story. Our kids that are in here still, they could tell the story because they've heard it in Sunday school. They've heard it as kids growing up kind of a thing. But I wonder if we've ever heard the fact that there's nothing recorded about anybody getting saved at this. John's Gospel, chapter 6. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples, and the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And now there was much grass in the place. The men sat down in number, about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. The fourth pebble that you can put in somebody's stone is acts of compassion. Acts of compassion. What you read here is not the social gospel. The social gospel of today is lots of social, no gospel. All right? This is not the social gospel. These people have walked with Jesus. They have been listening. They have been overhearing everything that Jesus has taught and he said. And I'm sure that the gospel has been presented. Bible truth has been presented. The Lord has fed them spiritually so that what now you are seeing is the gospel in action. That's the way it's supposed to happen. And these people, the Lord looks on them. He says, they followed me all day. I know they're hungry. Let's feed them. It's an act of compassion. It's taking care of an immediate need. That's one of the ways that you put a stone or a pebble in somebody's shoe. Look, though, at verses 14 and 15. This is incredible. How many people got saved? The Bible says, then those men that had seen the miracles, what Jesus did, said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into the mountain himself alone. That is not salvation. That is the road walking into Jerusalem, heading into Passion Week, as those people cried, Hosanna to the Son of David, to the King of David. They were looking at somebody that would get them out of the political mess they were in. They were not looking for salvation. They wanted a king who would overrule the Roman government, who would stop them from having to pay such high taxes and all that kind of stuff. They weren't looking for a savior. Continue in verse 41. This same group, as Jesus goes on then to teach and to preach, and in fact, in my Bible, starting at verse 31, the heading is, I am the bread of life. As Jesus is talking to them and he's describing himself as the bread of life, it says in verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? They're not believing. Jesus did this act of compassion, but they're not believing. So does that mean that he shouldn't have done the act of compassion? Not at all. He put a pebble in their shoe. We don't know years down the road. The Bible does not record every little moment of history from every person's life. We are given what we need to know. What is it at the end of John's Gospel where something says to the effect that there are not enough volumes that it could all be written of what all had been done? Who knows who came to know Christ as Savior later on? Right now they're murmuring. Right now they're, this, who's he think he is? Yeah, we saw the miracles he did. That's what a good person would do and all this. I had a prophet and all that. Not Savior. Not my Savior. Just this person that did the miracles. But certainly put a pebble in their shoe. You do an act of compassion for that lost individual. You got that person you're working with and they've been sick or whatever, and they're lost as a goose. I'm going to go give them the gospel. Well, that's good. But how quickly will they tune you out? But you say, I'm going to go give them a casserole. I'm going to give them a plate of cookies. I'm going to do something for them. I'm going to put a pebble in their shoe. And they remember that there is somebody out there in this world that cares for them. And they're not just looking to put another notch in their belt, but they really care about me. You say, but they could die. And I'm not saying, please do not misunderstand. If the Holy Spirit of God is leading you to witness to that person, you better witness to them. But sometimes the Spirit of God is saying, shut up and just be nice. Just do something nice for them. Give them something to think about. Let them see what Christ can do in a person's life. And here's Jesus, he took care of their need. One more, and this kind of piggybacks on this one. Go to John's Gospel, chapter 18. John's Gospel, chapter 18, verse 10. John's Gospel, chapter 18, and verse 10. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's ear. By the way, we're at the betrayal, the arrest of Jesus in the garden. He smote the high priest's ear and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Now, either Simon is just really bad at wielding the sword, or the guy moved, he flinched. I don't know. How did he just... I don't think he was going for the ear. Do you? But anyhow, off pops the ear. And just let your mind visualize this for a minute. You know, here comes this soldier. By the way, they have a helmet that protects the ears. Where was the helmet? How did the helmet come off to get to the ear? And now lobs the ear off. And just picture this ear just go bloop, 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 rolling into the ground. And then said Jesus unto Peter, put up thy sword into the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away. As you read the passage, you know that Jesus touches the ear and heals that ear. Can you picture Jesus? There goes that ear rolling. He just bends over and picks the ear up. Puts it to the side of Malchus's head. It's reattached. Everybody sees the ear come off. Everybody sees the ear get reattached. Can you imagine that? How about touching somebody for Jesus? Folks, we were made for physical contact. We were made for physical contact. Let me just throw out something. Sorry, Dr. Fauci. I don't understand if hand washing and hand sanitizer is the cure-all, then why can't we shake hands with somebody? Just go hand sanitize them. Oh, but you're gonna hand sanitize after every single person? Well, if that makes you feel good. Why can't we do that? I'm sorry, I think we've got some goofy things going on. We weren't made to be apart. We were made for the need of the touch of others. Imagine touching somebody, appropriately touching somebody in their hour of need and how that puts a pebble in their shoe. And they know somebody cared to reach out to me. You know, as I look at these things, I want to conclude in Ephesians chapter 6. Very quickly, I want to look at this verse. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, and we're familiar with what's in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, verse 11 tells us to put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But verse 15 says that we are to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What does that mean, the word preparation? It actually has two meanings. First of all, to be prepared, exactly what the word says. That means doing what you need to do beforehand. That means knowing your Bible. That means being well-versed in the verse. Being able to think through some questions that somebody might ask you. And knowing how to answer those things. Going through and thinking about, why do I believe what I believe? Can I defend why I believe what I believe scripturally? Can I take somebody to the Word of God? Most importantly, can I show somebody how to be born again? And if you're sitting here this morning, you know Jesus Christ the Savior, you say, I just don't know where that would be at in the Bible. I don't know how to take my Bible and do that with somebody. Then you know what I would suggest to you? Forgo the afternoon nap, shut off the television, and figure it out. Learn how to do it. You say, you know Jesus is Savior? Then you know how to be saved. Find the Bible verses to back that up and to show somebody. The Romans Road. I'll even help you cheat on this. Take a track home with you and study it this afternoon. Not that you memorize the track. Memorize the scripture. Memorize the references. Get prepared. The other part of the word preparation is to be ready. To be ready. That way it's not taking you by surprise when the moment happens. Be ready. How do you get ready? Think through some scenarios. Imagine how you could put these things into place. Go through the Gospels and find the other things that Jesus did, where at that very moment he did not share the gospel, because Jesus did not share the gospel at every single time that he did something. But he put a pebble in somebody's shoe and he gave him something to think about. And how many of those people ended up coming back days, weeks, months, years later and trusted him as Savior because they'd been thinking on what had been left behind? I ask you this morning, Christian, are you putting a pebble in anybody's shoe? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, and you think about those people that have planted those pebbles in your life, and this morning you say, I'm tired of walking on that pebble. How many of you are tired of that pebble being in your shoe? You say, I want to get that pebble out. How do I do that? Come to know Jesus as Savior. You recognize yourself as a lost sinner and that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save your soul. He died on Calvary's cross for you. He shed his blood in payment of your sins. He arose from the grave. He has the power to give new life to all who will believe. How do you get that pebble of conviction that I need to be saved out of your shoe? Trust Jesus as Savior. Come to him today. Don't put him off any longer. Today is the day of salvation, right now. Come to Christ. Stand with me, please, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you have showed us throughout your word how to be a witness, how to share the gospel, even in times where we may not at that moment share the actual gospel message, but we give people something to think about. We interject you into the conversation. We show people what it is that Christ has done in our life, and we make reference to that, Lord. But Lord, there are times where it's very obvious that the opening and opportunity is there to introduce somebody to Christ. And Lord, we don't want to be missing those opportunities. We don't want to be negligent of it. We just ask, Lord, that you give us great wisdom, that we might be the evangelists, the missionaries in Williams County that you've called us to be. For that lost soul here this morning, Lord, they need to know you as Savior. May this be the day of salvation for them, Lord. We pray that they would turn you away no longer, that they would know what it is to be saved. We pray and ask it in Jesus' name.